Very often when we come to a passage or a chapter in the Word of God, there are phrases, there are verses, there are words which, as it were, leap out of the page at us and often set the tone of that passage or that chapter or that book. And in Psalm 40, as quoted in Hebrews 10, in verse 7, we read this: "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Lo, I come, I delight to do thy will, O my God." I delight to do thy will, O my God. Now, what is so remarkable about these words? These words which reflect the words, the desire, the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is remarkable about this phrase, "I delight to do thy will, O my God," is that it stands in such stark contrast to the natural will of man. All around us and in us is told a very different story. Man's great problem, the heart of man's problem, the reason man is in the state he's in, the reason this world is in the state it's in, the reason we live in a world full of sin, full of hatred, full of violence, full of evil, full of darkness, full of tragedy, full of problems, the reason the world is as it is because man does not delight to do the will of God. The heart of man's problem is his will. The heart of your problem is your will. When everything's distilled down to its bare elements, your problem is your will. God has said one thing unto man, and man has said another unto God. God says one thing unto you, and you say another unto him. God says, "This is my will." And you and I say, "But this is my will." There is no delight in the heart of man to do the will of a righteous God. There is a battle of the wills. Our will is set against the will of God. We are unwilling to walk in God's ways. We are unwilling to follow God. We are unwilling to listen to God. We are unwilling to love God. We are unwilling to worship God. We're unwilling to come unto God. There is a battle of the wills. God says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And we will not, man will not, follow God. He will not. The heart of man's problem is his will. He is unwilling. He hates the things of God. He does not desire the things of God. As Paul makes plain in Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We're unwilling. People speak of free will. People say that man has free will. That God has declared his will unto man. Indeed, that God has said, I want man to be saved and to walk before me and to love me and to be one with me. And they speak of a God who wills and desires one thing. And they speak of man and they say that man has a free will to either choose to follow and to do as God wills or to rebel. But the reality is, there is none that seeketh after God. Where is your free will when from the day you have been born, you have gone the opposite way? Oh, you might make your decisions each day. You might decide to run away from God on this road or on that road. You have a will in the sense that determines just how you go, but it's always away from God. One day you sin in this way, one day you sin in that way. One day you lose your temper, one day you decide to do this. But you're captive to a will that is set against God. There's nothing free about your will. You cannot choose to follow God, and no man has chosen to follow God, and those that say they've chosen to follow God never have followed God, because all they've done is they've fashioned a God that suits what they want to do, and they've willingly followed that God because that God is themselves, or that God sanctions all that they want to do. They want to do this, so they worship a God that says it's all right to do this, but they never choose to follow the true and the living God. Again, there are those in religion who say, yes, we do. We follow Jesus, we follow God, we have a free will. I've chosen to accept him. But you've chosen to accept your idea of a Jesus that stands willingly, helplessly, hopelessly, wanting you to be saved and not having any power to bring about that salvation, because the final decision lies in your hands. So your Jesus is a little puppet that abides by your will. If you choose to follow him, he'll bless you. And if you choose to reject him, tough. He's not a God. He's not Jesus, he's not the Christ of the Scriptures, he's not the God of the Scriptures. You've never chosen to follow God. You've never chosen to delight in his will. All you've chosen is an idea of a Jesus in your head who blesses whatever you choose. Free will. Your free will lead you to hell, because there's none that's willing to follow after God. Our will by nature is set against God. Our will is to further our own ends. We want this, we want that, we will go here, we will go there, we want the glory, we want the praise. We'll be religious as long as we can feel good about it, as long as it brings some glory to ourselves. Oh, we don't mind religion then. But a religion that cuts us down and shows us what we are and plays us before God as nothings, as rebels, as those who are totally depraved by nature, as liars, as schemers, as deceivers, as haters, as warmongers, as idolaters. Religion that cuts us down and exposes us as we really are, we reject. Our will is set against it. Our will is diametrically opposed to it. We are unwilling to receive such a declaration, such a description from God about ourselves. Should a preacher come from God and declare unto us what we are by nature before him, as dead in trespasses and sins, as utterly unwilling, as those who have never sought and never will seek God, as those who hate God and hate his people and hate his gospel. When a preacher comes with that, we hate it. And we are unwilling to listen, unwilling to believe, unwilling to follow the God of whom they speak. That's your state by nature. That's my state by nature. We are unwilling. And yet here in this psalm, we read of one who, in stark contrast to you and I, says unto God, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Now those are remarkable words when we truly see them in the context of man as he truly is. Now there are many deceivers and many fools who talk about serving God, who talk about worshipping God, who talk about what they do for God, and they think that they are willing to do God's will, but they're not. They're willing to do what they think God wants them to, what they decide to do for God. They're willing to do and walk in their religion, but they're not willing to do what God would have them do. They're not willing to believe the truth that God declares unto them. They're not willing to receive the gospel as it truly is. So the reality is that man does not delight to do the will of God. And God's law, God's word, God's speech, God's testimony, God's gospel is not within their heart. But here's one who said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Thy truth, thy word, thy gospel's in my heart is one with me. I walk in thy will because I love thy will. It's in my heart. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Well, I'll tell you plain by nature, the will of God, his word, his truth, his gospel will not be found there. There's no room there for it. Not with all the filth and the hatred and the depravity of sin that's entered in. By one man, sin entered into the earth, and death by sin. And when that sin entered in, your heart and my heart received a sentence. We were born with hearts unwilling to follow God. Hearts set upon another thing. Hearts set upon our own desires and our own glory. Hearts that despise the living God. Hearts with a will that is set against him. We're unwilling. But here's one who's willing. And the reason he's willing is because here's a man with faith in his heart. Here's a man who walks before God by faith. Here's a man who loves and trusts and believes in his God. Here's a man unlike the natural man. Here's a man, an Adam, unlike the first Adam. Here's another man, another heart, another will. Here's a man of faith. David writes as a man of faith. David writes as a man who was once a natural man born of Adam. Once in sin, once depraved, once unwilling, but a man who'd encountered God. And a man who by the grace of God had been changed. A man who'd been brought to faith. A man into whom God had placed faith in his heart that he should believe and he should receive the truth and he should receive a love of the truth. Here's a man, David, who'd been born again. Here's a man who knew God. Here's a man of faith. But in his words, we see the words, the heart and the desire of the man that made David into this man. We see the heart, the desire, the words, the will of his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the man Christ, the man of faith, who speaks in this psalm. And it's because of that man that David was delivered from the shackles of his will. It's because of that man that David, who once was so unwilling, could in Christ say with Christ, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." Unless and until God comes unto you and speaks his truth unto you and reveals his truth unto you and shows the lies that you once held on to and how unwilling you once were, until God comes with his gospel and opens your eyes to see and says the truth is this, and you see that all you held to before was another way, until that day, you will remain in darkness, in death, in sin, and in the clutches of a fallen will. But when David came to hear the truth, when God spake unto him, when God revealed the truth to him, when God revealed Christ to him, who is the truth, then David's eyes were opened, and David beheld with faith a Saviour crucified for him, a Saviour who took away his sin, a Saviour who delivered him, and a Saviour who willingly gave himself for David. And when his eyes were opened and faith entered into his heart, David, who was once unwilling, was made willing. And should God do the same for you? Should God reveal his truth unto you? You who were once unwilling to call upon God for salvation will call with all your might. You who once didn't care, who were careless, who were unwilling, who were going another way, will cry out unto God to have mercy upon your soul. You'll desire nothing more than to know God's grace. And the reason you desire it is because God has opened your eyes. God has made his truth known unto you. God has put faith in your heart to cry out unto him. He's made you willing. In the 110th Psalm, David says of this, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth." Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Once they were unwilling. Once David was unwilling. Perhaps today you're still unwilling. But when God comes with his gospel, the power of God unto salvation, when God comes in a gospel day with his speech in his gospel and says unto you, "Behold my Son, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When he comes with his gospel in power, you will be made willing. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Has he made you willing? He made David willing. He put faith in David's heart. David, who once had no faith. David, who was once blind. David, who was once in darkness. David, who was once unwilling, now looks unto God. And now can say by faith, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And the difference between David and the natural man, between David on this day and David on the day when he was born from his mother's womb, the difference is the faith that God put in his heart. Because faith is willing, whereas the flesh hates and goes another way. The psalm opens with an introduction which shows us the patient waiting of faith. Faith is willing. Faith loves. Faith longs. Faith longs for mercy. Faith longs for salvation. Faith longs to see the Lord Jesus Christ. The object of faith is Christ. The object of faith is God. The object of faith is his salvation. And faith waits for it. We may have faith, but we're still called to wait. We're still on a journey. We're still on a pilgrimage. And there is a day coming, one day, when we will dwell with the Lamb of God around his throne. But as we journey through this world, we're called to wait. We're called to patience. We're called to endure. And faith waits patiently. For David opens the psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. For David didn't walk by sight, but by faith. If everything was revealed and visible and fulfilled and there to be received at that moment, he'd have just seen it. He'd have walked by sight. But David lived before Christ had even entered this world. David lived before the Messiah had even come and fulfilled all the promises and the prophecies regarding him. Yet he looked and he believed. He heard the truth. He heard the truth of the gospel through the prophecies in the Bible, in the scriptures. He heard the truth and he received them and he believed them and he waited. He looked down through history to that day when Christ would come. To that day when Christ would deliver him. And he knew that even if that didn't come about in his own lifetime, even if David went to the grave, not ever having seen Christ come, he knew it would come about. He knew Christ would come. He knew his salvation would come about. He waited. Do you know something of this patience, this waiting? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's where, that horrible pit is where David's natural will had gotten him. It's where your will gets you. We go this way and that way. The world dazzles us with all that it promises to us. The world dazzles mankind. And mankind, like lemmings, runs, following the crowd, following the masses, all going, seeking happiness in a way that brings destruction. This huge multitude, and you see it all around you. If you can just step back from the mad rush that is in time, and you step back from these crowds racing one way, and you watch what happens, they're all racing helplessly, thinking they've made a conscious decision, thinking they've chosen something with their own free will. They're all consciously going after this and going after that and going after the other. And they're all going the same way. And they're all heading towards a precipice. And they're all falling off the cliff. And they're all slaughtered at the bottom. They're all fools. And we're all foolish like them. We're all led along in this great flood, these great rivers that carry us along to our destruction. We think we're choosing it, but we can't choose anything else. It leads us to a horrible pit. Your insatiable desire for entertainment, for pleasure, for riches, for all that you can gain in this world, for the status and the power and the applause, the acclaim of man, the popularity, the friendships, all that you seek leads you into a horrible pit, because you're not seeking, you're not willing to seek. You don't love the will of God. There's no faith. But out of that horrible pit into which he'd fallen with every man, out of that miry clay from where he could not escape, David, having been brought to faith, was lifted up. His feet were set upon a rock, and his goings were established. God put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto God. David writes, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Oh, how he rejoices in his God, how his faith waits for his God, and how he's brought to cry out unto his God, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Once it wasn't. Once it wasn't. Once his will was in that way that placed him in that horrible pit. In the miry clay, where are you? Are you found in miry clay, unable to escape? Or has faith put a new song in your heart? Praise unto your God. Has faith put the will of God in your heart? The word, the truth, the gospel. Has faith changed your will? Faith delights. Faith delights in the will of God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Being brought to faith, David loved God's ways. There's no slavish obedience about David. This isn't those, as are so common in the religious world, who go to a law and try to strive to keep a law. He says here, thy law is within my heart. But this is not a law of condemnation. This is not the law of Moses that tells the natural man, that tells an evil man to do this when the man would go the other way. This is not a law given to him to expose how unwilling he is. This is that truth that he loves because his will has already been changed. David is willing. He loves the word of God. He loves the truth of God. He loves the ways of God. It's not a burden. As Christ says, my yoke is easy. This is a pathway that's easy for him because he loves it. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I've preached these things, I speak of these things. Once I cared not for them, once I hated them. There's no shyness about David's declaration of God. There's no fear of man here that shuts his mouth. Oh, how easy it is to see the hatred of men, to see the reaction of men to the gospel, to see the unwillingness of men all around us to listen and to therefore remain silent. But faith rises up above all these things. Faith so delights in the truth, it will risk slaughter. It will risk being shunned of man. It will risk standing before hateful men and declaring and preaching the righteousness of God before them. Though everyone else is so unwilling, though they will not hear, faith will rise up above it. Faith puts a boldness in the heart. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, David says. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. It came forth, I shouted it forth, because I delight in it. Therefore withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. David delights in the will of his God. He delights in the gospel. He delights in his God and he delights in what his God has done for him. He delights in his salvation. Oh, what a contrast between the natural man and the man of God. We're so unwilling. It's always our will, my will, your will. There's always a battle of wills. We won't do what God would have us do. We won't do what our parents would have us do. We won't do what authority would have us do. We won't do what anyone would have us do. We'll do what we'll do. If the country, if the laws say do this and we're happy, we agree with them, all right, we'll walk in them. If our parents say do this and we happen to agree, we'll do what they say. But all the time, whenever there's a difference, whenever men say something different, whenever God says something different, we'll fight against it. David delights. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. Willing to do what? Willing to do all that God desires. Willing to walk in God's ways. Willing to do anything that God desires. But consider not just David here, but his Saviour Christ and his words. I delight to do thy will, O my God. What delight and what will was that? Christ came. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. The scriptures, they all speak of me. And I come. I've come in the fullness of time. And I delight to do thy will. What was God's will for Christ? God's will, God's desire, God's covenant was that Christ should come into this world of unwilling rebels. He should come into the darkness. He should come into this horrible pit. He should come into this world of hatred. He should come into this world of sin and death. He should come and he should take and bear the sins of many. And go to a place of execution. Be nailed to a tree. Be lifted up in the midday sun. He should go and he should be crucified for his people. He should die for those he loved. What was the will of his God in which he delighted? He delighted to do all that God would have him do, and that included laying down his own life for those who once hated him. Now, when you realize that, when you realize that that is what is set before Christ and what is described in the latter part of this psalm, when you realize that that is what the will of God for Christ was, you'll realize quite the heights to which faith goes. This was the will in which Christ delighted, and this was the will in which David delighted, and this is the will in which all God's people delight. It's not just a willingness to walk in this righteous way and that righteous way. It's not just a willingness to turn aside from this sin and that sin. It's a willingness to give up all. It's a willingness to lay down one's life for God and his people. It's a willingness to suffer to the very end. What is this will? That Christ should die, that his people should live. David goes on. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha! Aha! Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. What did the will of God purpose for his own son? It purposed that he should so suffer. He should so die. He should so bear the sins of many that he cried out from the depths of anguish, the depths of suffering, the depths of his sin bearing, that innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. In the darkness, at the cross, in the darkness, made sin, bearing his people's sin, Christ owned them as his own. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. That's what he suffered. He suffered the outpouring of the wrath of God against those innumerable evils, against those iniquities, which were more than the hairs of his head, innumerable. You could not count them. All the sins of all his people throughout all time crushed him and weighed him down. And the wrath of God poured down upon his head. He waded through eternity. He waded through eternal wrath. unending wrath in the 3 hours of darkness upon the cross. Eternity contracted to a span. He waded through the darkness. He could not look up. And yet that was the will of God, that he should go there, that he should deliver his people from their sins, that they in him should die to their sins, that they in him should rise again the other side victorious, that they in him should live forevermore, that they in him should be made willing, that they in him should have a new song in their hearts, that they in him should live, that they in him should rise again with faith in their hearts, that they in him should delight to do God's will. I delight to do thy will, O my God. This is his delight. He delighted to die for sinners. He delighted to drink the cup of God's wrath. He hated it, but he delighted it. He hated the burden. Naturally speaking, as a man, he'd have escaped it if he could. If thou be willing, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine. He bore the unbearable. He suffered the insufferable. He was crushed. And yet, the desire to see his people saved, his love for his own, his love for David, his love for all his people was such that he could say, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to suffer and to die, that they should rise with me again in life. Oh, the enormity of what David and Christ and his people delight in. Faith trusts in the midst of trial, all trial, every trial, the deepest of trial, when all men around you, unwilling to listen, unwilling to follow your God, unwilling to love, unwilling cry, aha, aha, when they see you cast down, when they see you suffering, when they see you broken, when they see you in the depths, rather than being sympathetic, rather than lending a helping hand, when you need help most, rather than them being kind, they come along and tread you underfoot and mock you and scorn you and cry, aha, aha, look where you are now. Look where your gospel's got you. Look where your saviour's got you. Look where your God's got you. Look at you now. When they come unto you in that state, when there's no man to help, when everything's at an end, faith still rises up and looks beyond all the circumstances and looks up into heaven and sees God and sees his mercy and his grace and says, I believe and I delight to do thy will, O my God. I am poor and needy. All men have rejected me, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou and thou alone art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Have you been in a horrible pit? Are you in a horrible pit? Are you in miry clay? Have you no hope? Do you know your own wretchedness? But do you long to know this God, this Saviour, this salvation? Do you delight in his truth? Do you delight in his word? Do you delight in his gospel? Do you delight in his will, that he was willing to give his own son for sinners? Do you delight that God was willing to offer his own son for sinners? Do you want to know him? Do you want to walk before him? Has God put faith in your heart to cry? If he has, then though you're poor and needy, though you're in darkness, though man cries aha, aha, though you have no hope in self or in man, if God looks upon you, you have every hope. Faith is rewarded. Faith overcomes. Faith is victorious because Christ came in the volume of the book written of him. He delighted to do the will of God. His law, his word was in his heart. He suffered in the darkness. He suffered when innumerable evils compassed about him. He suffered. And he rose again victorious. He cried out, "It is finished." And he and his people rose and entered into glory, where they will dwell forevermore. Is that where you are heading? Are you waiting patiently for it? Are you looking up? Will he set your feet upon a rock? Will he put a new song in your heart? Even praise unto our God. Amen.